there is so much that's been done and said when it comes to messaging that I find it difficult to do an interview with you. I'm just being truthful.
Sure, and I understand. It's been a very ugly and hard fought campaign. Expected it with Mike Madigan in the mix.
And here's the thing: when I say it's difficult, it's not because I'm a coward or anything. It's just I think so often that we get tied up in this stuff that we don't talk about the issues. I was talking with David Yepsen, and at this time yesterday morning, Senator Dave Luchtefeld, and I said, you know, if you'd asked me a year ago about this coming ballot and what it meant, I would say it would be a referendum on the pension issue in Illinois. But it's not. And I still think to some extent it should be.
Yeah, it actually should be. And I've tried really hard to get out the message that this district needs jobs. What we've done in not paying down our pension debt and what we've done in closures of state facilities and unemployment offices like the one in Murfreesboro has created a real crisis for jobs here in Southern Illinois. And that and funding our education system should be the thing that we're talking about most. And so I'm trying to stay on track with that.
See, but here's the thing in this, you know, what's so often called the Ryan budget, but let's just look at it as anybody's budget mm-hmm. from a Republican standpoint on how you're going to be able to cut when you're as much debt as Illinois. And we say, look, this facility's closed and that facility's closed. If we do this and we go about trying to rectify this financial issue, those aren't going to be the last places closed.
Well, I disagree with you on that issue.
But how?
Right. Well, the first thing that we have to do is a forensic audit, a line-by-line look at where our money has gone. When the so-called temporary tax increase was implemented in Illinois, it was supposed to pay down our pension debt, and it was supposed to pay off the backlog of unpaid bills. So roughly $28 billion has been taken in, and $8 billion has been paid on the pension debt. Where's the other $20 billion? So first we look at that. Then we start looking at the fraud that's in the state. I just heard, actually on your station this morning, continued look at IDOT and the what I believe illegal hiring that went on at IDOT. So we have that. Then we have in Medicaid, the fraud that is rampant within Medicaid, where we have dead people still on the rolls. So those are three areas that we can be looking at. When we get our own financial house in order, businesses want to come to Illinois, in particular in the 115th district, where in Mount Vernon you've got crossover of I-57 and I-64. We have four fantastic junior colleges or access to them in the 115th district. And we've got a world-class university right here in Carbondale where businesses could come and partner with those schools to take our ready-to-work workforce and train them for their own businesses. So once we have our financial house in order, I believe that businesses are going to be tripping over themselves to come back to Illinois.
You want to do a zero-sum audit, a zero-sum budget. You go back to zero and you just rebuild the whole doggone thing instead of building on piles of debt and start over again and say where to cut.
I know
that's still
going
to have
movie,
to be a huge sum of money to be cut.
It is, but, you know, there's laziness in Springfield. We're supposed to go there and do a job, and part of that job is making sure that we pay our bills on time and that we put people to work in this state. And when we have lazy politicians who go there and don't do the work that they were sent there to do, then we have the problems that we have right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting that when you talked about the temporary tax, which, you know, Pat Quinn's been he's been very blatant, and he wants to extend that, and he wants to make it permanent. Where did the money go? Because you can use that not only for that temporary tax increase, but you can use that in a lot of it. Where does the money go?
Well, I did. $52 million of it went to a precinct in Chicago just before the last election to buy votes with the neighborhood
Initiative Act or whatever it was.
Right, the NRI.
Crime. Yeah.
And so there's $52 million right there. That would have kept the Murfreesboro boot camp open for a year or better, or at least contribute to that. So there are a lot of areas that we should be looking at here. If I could, Tom, I want to talk a little bit about those the closure issues.
Yeah.
Tam's correct. You know, I'm from the Department of Corrections.
Right.
So every day when I'm on a leave of absence right now, but every day when I go to work, there are two issues that come to mind. Number one is your safety and the safety of the community. Well, and the third, I guess, is the safety of the inmates that are there. But in closing Tam's, the governor put at risk not only the people that work in those facilities, but also the inmates that are in the facilities and the community. If we have escapes from other facilities, because inmates were pushed down the line, the ones that went from TAMS went to Pontiac, Pontiac to Menard, Menard to Pinckneyville, Pinckneyville, so on down the line, so that you have inmates now at Vianna or Shawnee that don't belong there. But on the other end of the spectrum, he closed a work release center in Carbondale where inmates paid to live there, basically. They buy their own clothes. They buy their own bedding. They purchase items at Walmart, Kroger's, and so on. So sales taxes, money into victim restitution, child support, alimony, all of those things. And so on both ends of the spectrum, we have facilities in this district that need to be reopened.
It's interesting that you mention that, because you go all the way back. What prison was it that actually grew its own food, and then we stopped doing that, so it cost more?
Well, Menard did for many years.
Yeah,
even
but
their
there
own
was another
meat,
one. So. You'd see it on the way to driving to Springfield. Gee whiz, and I can't remember.
Vandalia, possibly?
Vandalia.
They still grew a lot of theirs.
Yeah, well, they sold milk cows. They got rid of this. They actually contributed to their own food supply, keeping the cost down, and then they sold the property, so they don't do that anymore. Yeah. We have done some phenomenally stupid stuff. The one thing you didn't talk about, Department of Corrections, which I thought it thinks worthy of note, is the way we've managed them, where we have so much overtime that we'd actually be hiring new people to make it safer, but we don't manage our budget right in our hiring principles.
Right. Part of the fix for the pension system was to start a tier two on pensions. And so in that tier two, we've actually now have approximately 10,000 new employees. So there are some being hired, but we still have 660 million, I think, paid in overtime last year. And that's unacceptable. You're working people to the point that they're not able to function the way they should,
actually,
and spending ridiculously.
Actually, my brother is a prison guard, and he's just wondering when he's going to get to see his kids next.
Right.
So. I mean, he's literally, last time I saw him, you all right there, big boy?
Sure.
We're working like you wouldn't believe the overtime hours.
Well, I was in Dongola.
Not that he doesn't appreciate the money.
Right. I was in Dongola 2 weeks ago, and the folks down there said, don't forget us after this election. You know, they were hit hard with the TAMS closure for jobs. So, you know, I don't want to use state facilities just for jobs. It is about safety as well. But we have to remember that whole communities in this district have depended upon good paying jobs with good benefits.
You talked about jobs a couple of moments ago. And here's the thing. Government, sure, there are some jobs. Building roads makes me look out here on 13th or construction project. But really, government's not in charge of making jobs. It's in charge of getting the heck out of the way so other people can make jobs.
Right.
And even the people in Illinois now are saying, people who live here, worst state in the union. Business owners saying, worst business environment. Texas just was announced as the polling is from business owners as the best place to do business. And since 2008, we've lost 100,000 manufacturing jobs. That weakens this state in a way that I don't think you can. It's really hard to qualify.
Sure. Well, let's look at the partnership that I was talking about with businesses and junior colleges. I've talked about this a lot on the stump. Magnum Steel worked out an arrangement with Wren Lake College where the curriculum is set so that when the students graduate from Wren Lake from that curriculum, they're ready to go to work at Magnum Steel. And I think that that's something that we can do here in this district that is unique to other districts in the state because we have such great access to these junior colleges.
All right. Now, in the messaging that's gone on, one of the items that's getting some traction and you've been fighting back is against that you haven't paid your fair share in property taxes.
Right.
Bill Kilquist issued a statement on Monday, the 20th. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? Issued a following statement. For 6 years, Terry Bryan improperly benefited from two tax exemptions on properties in Murfreesboro and DeSoto, even though the exemption is supposed to apply only to the homeowner's primary residence. By claiming an owner-occupied exemption on a second property, Bryan reduced her property tax bills by $3,100 and forced every homeowner who plays by the rules to pay more to make up the difference. Your response to this?
Well, my response is we own two properties. His ad on TV says multiple properties, multiple tax exemptions. We only have one tax exemption, homestead exemption. We own a mobile home and we own a house. And it'd go all the way back to 2010, back to 2006 to try to find that. Only thing I can tell you is we took one homestead exemption. We've had no indication from the treasurer's office that there was any problem with that. Checked it out. You know, when we took the exemption, was assured by Shirley Booker that we were all good with it, lived in the property in DeSoto. So I, I really don't know what he's talking. In fact, when he made that statement, it's the first time we've even heard about what his issue was. So we took one homestead exemption. The other property is a mobile home. So I don't know what he's talking about when he says two exemptions.
One of the other messages was it seemed to say, and I've tried to listen back to it on my DVR and listen back to it, that you voted for things.
Right. I've never been elected.
And
so,
I was wondering, yeah. I wasn't sure what that alluded to. I think there's something small at the bottom of the screen, but you voted to do this. And I keep thinking, I'm sorry.
No, this has been from his side, has been a campaign of half-truths, lies, and just out-and-out deception. So what it looks like is all over the state, there were cookie-cutter ads that were done in the Tier 1 races. In fact, there's several up north that they just, if you took the one that ran on me, take my picture out, they put someone else's picture, and it ran the exact same ad. There's one running right now that says I got 130% increase in my pay. What it doesn't say is that that's over a 20-year career in the Department of Corrections, that I started in an entry-level position, that I'm ahead of my department right now, and the last 6 years have been contract raises. So the only thing I can think right now is Bill has shifted his opinion on collective bargaining, because those 6 years of raises have been collectively bargained with my contract.
One of the other items is that you would, if elected, cut the budget for domestic violence. Now, unless you know Terry and have for some time, you may not know that domestic violence has been a real... Terry, I'm sorry, this is private.
No, it's okay. I'm happy to talk about it. It's ridiculous. In fact, yesterday I went to the Women's Center to help get folks to vote yes
on the crime victims law, Marcy's law. Yeah.
Yes. And, I grew up most of my life with my grandparents because we had a domestic violence issue in my own family where basically I had a very abusive stepfather. And to save my life, my mother shot and killed my stepfather when he was trying to kill me at 9 years old. So I had to testify in court for what happened in order to make sure that my mother did not go to prison. And then 3 years later, I had a very close family member, my aunt Peggy Hornbostel, who was murdered by a boyfriend who stalked her and then killed her and then killed himself. So it's real in our family. And, there are some things in campaigns that are out of bounds. That's out of bounds. But to Mike Madigan and the Chicago politicians that are running Bill's campaign, nothing seems to be out of bounds.
What do you think we should be talking about right now instead of the items that we just talked about?
Yeah, we need to be talking about jobs. We need to be talking about cutting fraud and mismanagement and waste in this state. And we need to be talking about funding our schools. In particular, Pat Quinn has cut, I think it's over $500 million out of education in his time in office. And we need to return tax dollars to an equitable state, to an equitable funding in this district. We need our fair share, and we need to do that by finding the money from waste and mismanagement and bringing businesses back.
And that's one of the issues I see that's specific to your district,
mm-hmm.
School education funding, because there's been promises made and not a lot of promises kept.
Right. Yeah.
In that particular case. Of course, you've got the pensions, you've got jobs, you've got school funding, education, you've got the way things are being done in the budget. We need to go to a zero-sum budget. We need to look at every doggone line again and start realizing that there is money, waste, and fraud on a regular basis.
Right.
These are the big issues moving forward. Now, before I let you go today, I don't know that you and I will be able to talk again before the election. I'm hoping we do. It may be a short one, but I want to be able to do another one. I wish there was a ton of other stuff we could get into, the budget process in and of itself, and the fact that we've gone, we've gone from a state that we were exceedingly proud of to being, I take a lot of grief from my friends who live in other states. Hey, how's things going in Illinois there, huh?
Right.
Got any money left?
Yeah.
It's got kind of embarrassed, to the point of embarrassment, hasn't it? Yeah.
I started in the Department of Corrections in 1994. My governor then was Jim Edgar. And I saw us go from a place where we didn't get everything we wanted, but we got everything we need, to a place where I'm begging in the Department of Corrections just to keep ovens working in the kitchen so that you can feed the inmates that are there. So, it's been an embarrassment. Of course, I have family members who say, move out of that godforsaken state, but I love this state and I love this area. I hunt and fish and do all
home.
Those good things that are home here, the best people in the country, and I want to stay here, and I want our children and our families to stay here.
All right, we've got about 60 seconds here left. Terry Bryant's joining us. She's the Republican candidate for the 115th District. if they don't get to see another message, either for or against you, or your own messaging, what do you want them to know about you before you go into the poll, and why should they pull the trigger with Terry Bryant?
Sure. I want them to know that I'm going there to work for you. I'm not going there to pad my pockets. In fact, I'm going to resign from the Department of Corrections, and I'm going to work full-time for you in this district. We're going to do it. I'm going to do everything I can do to bring jobs back here, to make sure that our schools are funded equitably, and to do it in a fair and honest fashion. So go vote. Early voting has already started. Go do it now.
What if you got an opportunity to ask Bill Kilquist a question today, what would it be?
The question would be, Bill, can we take out these next 2 weeks and do this right, honest, forthright, and let's talk about the issues?
Terry Bryant, Republican candidate, 115th District. Terry, thanks for your time.
Thanks
really
for having me today.